Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
USC got a big one coming up against Tulane.
Jessica, I asked him not to do this, just so you know before it starts.
Mask up on this Tuesday morning.
I should treat our guests better, huh? Yeah, especially our regular guests. I apologize, Jessica.
It's just a little tender still. I'm still not over it.
She is Jessica Benson, catcher on Rise and Grind, catcher on the Grizz Radio Network, kind enough to join us every single Tuesday here on the show. If you could paint your nails with letters and words, what would you put on your nails right now? Just to sort of express your feelings, what would you write?
I'd write, "Go Grizz."
There you go. That's a good one. You should do that, by the way. You should. That's actually something you should do for content. You know, like, I think your audience would love that.
I do. The USC Grizzlies crossover content, you think it would really hit hard?
Yeah, like, you know, just do like the, you know, you got to get your nails. I don't know if your nails are done now, but you got to get them clear again. And then just with the, you know, black lettering, "Go Grizz." That would be perfect.
I have a nail appointment next week, so hey. You never know. Hey. It didn't work out well for Caleb, though, so maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe, like, there's some bad feelings with the painting and the nails at this point.
We're going to get to the Grizz real quick. Has he been doing that all year? Is that, like, a thing he does? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, like, Utah plays with it and has the back-to-back nails. They talk about it. And if you're going to paint F a team on your nails, you have to beat the
That's
team.
Right. That's
so,
right.
Unfortunately, in a championship game with college football playoff implications on the line, like, you got to take the heat. If you do that, you know what's coming for you if you lose.
Oh, man, that is fantastic. That is so good. That is so good. Are you going to go to the Cotton Bowl, or are you going to abstain from that?
No, I am not going to go to the Cotton Bowl. My Cotton Bowl memories are reserved for the Memphis Tigers. Thank you.
Love it.
I will hope that Caleb Williams plays in the Cotton Bowl as his status is still up in the air, because, God, it's going to really stink if you lose to Tulane, because that defense can't stop anyone. If they can't stop Utah, I don't trust them to stop Tulane and Willie Fritz in the Cotton Bowl.
That's right. Wow, what a win last night inside FedEx Forum. You know, I was waxing about it, but it to me, just sitting there and watching it, it was, you know, in this league, it is as impressive as it gets. What did you think, and just to sort of be in the environment last night and see it happen, what did you make of what the Grizzlies did last night?
Yeah, it's so funny because it feels like we really should know better by now than to doubt this Grizzlies team when a massive injury report comes out and you're staring at it like, oof, this is rough, and you're listening to Eric Spoelstra go off before the game about how they're not overlooking anyone. They're a game below 500. They were really taking that road trip seriously after they got the big overtime win against the Celtics and getting Jimmy Butler back and healthy. Like, there was no night off for the Heat last night at FedEx Forum. That was them giving their best effort to get out of there with a win, and the Grizzlies come out down seven bodies and find a way to do it. We saw this last season. It's what built the "we deep" mentality. It's what's building the Grizzlies culture of whoever that next man up is, or next men up in the case of a win like last night, where just everyone accepts the role that's necessary to be played. Tyus Jones, I think it was the biggest reminder of the season why it was so important to get him to come back to the Grizzlies, to get that deal done over the summer, and then even to see Kennedy Chandler play the most minutes that he's played in his very young Grizzlies career. There's just a lot of excitement top to bottom of this roster, and you look at a win last night, and it can't help but spark this idea of, like, all right, what's next? what can't this team do this year? Because we haven't seen them fully healthy, and right now they're third in the West, and it's a Western Conference that doesn't seem particularly locked down by anyone.
How about Santi? And I just can't help, and maybe, you know, maybe it's just me getting giddy, but I watch him, and the more comfortable he gets, and I think, man, it's going to be hard at some point to keep him off the floor when you're talking about him going back to a second unit once everybody comes back and things settle down. Just in terms of I've had to change the way I look at him in terms of now thinking how high is his ceiling. Just what have you thought about how comfortable Santi's looked? And, again, at a time you needed him to be big, he comes through for you last night with 18 and 10.
This is the Santi Aldama that the front office believed in, that the front office preached about, that gave a level of comfort for this team when everyone was freaking out about Jaren Jackson Jr. missing the beginning of the season and who was possibly going to fill in for his very large shoes. And there was a comfort from within of Santi Aldama's got this. And you've seen him even grow in these first 20 games or so. And to see him have his second double-double of the season, it's now to the point where when he's attacking the basket, there's trust in that. When he's shooting the three and on, there's trust in all of that. And defensively continuing to show those improvements, that's what he talked about coming out of this summer, where he really wanted to put more pride in his defensive abilities. And it just gives you that depth coming off the bench when he does revert to playing what you would expect to be a premier bench role for this team. And I think that's, again, a testament to last year. Like, he was the one playing spot minutes. He was the one when the Grizzlies had that crazy win over the Suns with a very bare-boned roster where he goes out and has the reverse dunk, and you're like, ooh, maybe there's something there. So I think it's just it's such a testament to the continued growth and how this team builds players up to succeed once they're asked to do more.
I mean, this has got to be the year for Taylor Jenkins, right? I mean, it feels like as good as any in terms of, maybe Willie Green in New Orleans, but if you're talking about leaders in the clubhouse, you know, 23, 24 games through the season, I guess that's, you know, a third of the way-ish. I mean, doesn't Taylor Jenkins have to be really close to the top for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And he was close to the top for me last year. And so if you just look at this as a continuation of what he's been able to do in managing and coaching this Grizzlies team to the point where they're able to have a night like last night. They're able to have a win over a Heat team where it's always been about Heat culture and playing hard each and every night and whoever's out there on the court. And now that's the Grizzlies, and Taylor Jenkins is at the forefront of that. And it's going to be hard-pressed to find another coach throughout this season. At least, you know, we're still before Christmas, but if he continues to carry on forward, he's my coach of the year. I know he's all of Memphis's coach of the year.
I mean, because, you know, that is one thing that I should have mentioned in the open that I did not, but Taylor Jenkins, like, it is Ja, you know, because I do think it probably does start with 12 just because of, like, his stardom and his magnetism and everything like that, but, you know, like that does not happen unless you also have a coach who is fostering the same thing and that guys are pouring back into as well. Like, Taylor Jenkins is probably an unsung part of this, you know, because you're just so consumed with Ja, but that can't happen last night. We can't give Eric Spoelstra credit for setting that culture down and not give Taylor Jenkins the same when a win like that happens.
Absolutely, and I think we've done a good job thus far. Now it's about singing those praises loud enough where it carries over throughout the rest of the association. And listen, I mean, if you continue to do what Taylor Jenkins and this Grizzlies team is doing, it's going to be incredibly hard to ignore, especially as this team presumably makes a pretty deep run in this year's playoffs.
I mean, Monty was second before he was first last year, right? Taylor finished second. Right, yeah, with Taylor. And a lot of times that goes with narrative and to your point, what you did the season before. Have you at all reframed your, I guess, expectations on them this year in terms of what they could be in finishing number one in the West, or was it always that, Jess? I'm trying to go back and remember what you said preseason in terms of what the top could be and the ceiling could be. I mean, John and I are looking at this thing and getting giddy.
Absolutely.
Appropriately giddy.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. Like, I've definitely reframed, and that's the thing about preseason rankings and preseason expectations, and even early season of that matter. Like, you just never really know, and the whole thought was, ooh, the scary, spooky West is going to continue to get healthier, and what are the Clippers going to be with Kawhi and Paul George healthy? And granted, Clippers got a great win last night. Kawhi Leonard comes up clutch with a couple buckets. We have yet to see what they can be. What are the Nuggets as they get healthier? What is Jamal Murray at this point in his career linking up with Nikola Jokic, two-time MVP? But at this point in the season, you have to make room for this Grizzlies team. Like, they've played their way into a position where you cannot not look at them as one of the premier teams in the West. And the way I look at it at this point, they got to be close to being a favorite for finishing in the one or two position, at least top three, which, frankly, is more than I expected at the beginning of the season. And that's shame on me. At some point, we just have to trust this team, this front office, for setting this team up, this franchise up for sustained success year in, year out.
Well, in fairness to us, I think some of that does have to do with the West. Like, teams that we expected to be sort of there in the West are not. Clippers, Warriors, right? Like, we expected them to be right there in the top three, and neither of them, they're not. I mean, the Warriors just lost at home last night to Indiana and
dropped them to 10th.
And the Clippers.
And a shorthanded Pacers team, too.
No, Halliburton. Yeah.
The Warriors have a handful of those just bizarre losses.
They do. And the Clippers, I mean, they are above 500, but they eked out a win against the Hornets yesterday, and they had everybody. So I think as much to do with. I think most of that sort of sentiment of, you know, hey, top four and we'll be good, that was just hedging against the West improving, which I think was fair before the season. It didn't happen, but it wasn't really so much doubting the Grizzlies as much as it was, hey, you know, as Dion would say, I'm coming.
Well, now it's known, and now we're at the point where I think the Grizzlies have established them to a place of, for seasons to come, they will be amongst the big names, no matter what, of who is favored in the Western Conference, at least if they keep playing the way they are right now.
The last thing for me on last night, and I just wonder if you agree, Jess, is I love D'Anthony. I loved his time here. Heck, he signed an autograph for my kid. But a lot of early on this season, we've said, well, what if he's still here? What if he's still with his bench? How much better is it? All of that stuff. I just think a win like last night, you know, you're almost doing yourself a disservice if you're still asking that question, at least in front of, okay, well, what can this bench be when things settle down? You know, what will these guys do in the playoffs once you've got that rotation settled down? I think the D'Anthony question, I think you got to let it go at this point after a win like last night with the guys you did it with.
Yes, breathe in, breathe out, let it go. I love D'Anthony. Seeing D'Anthony Melton smile when the Sixers were here, like, he's got one of the best megawatt smiles in this league. Fight on forever. USC, we love to see it. But you have to move on into this space. The front office trusted their plan, and yes, are the rookies playing more minutes than expected? Sure, but that's a great thing. They're getting real NBA time right now out on the court with this Grizzlies team, and on a night like last night, to see Kennedy Chandler diving for those loose balls, I mean, that's the kind of defensive intensity, a little boost off the bench that you're looking for. You're not going to need that from Kennedy Chandler, hopefully, ultimately moving forward every single night. But you have the pieces in place. You have to trust in this current iteration of what the Grizzlies are doing because, similar to last year's team, they're winning games. As long as they're winning, buy into what this roster looks like, because a win like last night makes it really, I would think it would make it easier to say, all right, we've got this. You still have a deep enough bench where no matter what given night, no matter which players are asked to be called up and play more minutes, they've got this covered.
Talking to Jessica Benson, she joins us every single Tuesday here on the show Catch on Rise and Grind, Catch on the Grizz Radio Network here on 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, look, I mean, this is sort of, you know, your area of expertise here as sort of our Pac-12 analyst on the show. Deion Sanders to Colorado. What do we think? I mean, you know how hard that job is. Like, can he be successful? What do you think?
I think he's already successful in that he has just re-injected life into a very good, dead Colorado football program. To watch just the apathetic levels of Colorado football fandom, I have a ton of friends who went to CU Boulder, and they just didn't care about football anymore. It was one of the worst teams in college football this season. And so to bring that energy, that life to Deion Sanders, and look, he's proven he won at Jackson State. He wasn't just a showboat. He actually won games and led that team to, you know, a really big turnaround. And so if he can do that at CU, the Pac-12 needs any help that it can get right now with USC and UCLA, one foot in, one foot out, and them trying to continue to establish any level of relevance in the national college football landscape. I think Deion Sanders is a tremendous hire and just solves immediately the problem of general apathy that was existing around CU football.
JB, always appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
I am so sorry for your loss.
Thank you, guys. fight on forever.
That was a fun. It was a fun first quarter, though. You'll always have that.
When it was 17-3, times were high, and then they were very, very low.
Hey, the great news though for you, honestly, is like you'll just you'll load up. You'll get all the transfers, and so you'll be.
Give us some defensive transfers, please.
Yeah.
Anyone who can tackle anyone.
There you have it. Hey, JB, appreciate
you
as always.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
She is Jessica Benson. He joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Yeah, don't fret too much. I mean, Caleb's coming back, and they're going to reload. I mean, why wouldn't they? That's what they do at USC. I mean, they're going to win the portal. So, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be just – it's not like Memphis's 07-08 run where it's like you knew this was like the apex and it's all going to be downhill from here because it can never be that good again. USC will get players and they will – I mean, they got Taj Washington out there. Remember him?
Yeah.
Catching touchdown passes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like he's like a dude on that team. He'd be the far and away number one on this Tiger team. They miss that, man. They miss. So
you don't like when folks mess with you about your team's losses, though. That's my thing.
No, I.
And that's a chance in Lincoln Riley's first season out there.
Yeah.
To basically go to a Final Four.
Yeah.
And if it was your team, you wouldn't want somebody messing with you if you had fallen at that hurdle. You'd say, man, that's kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of jerkish of you to do that.
Completely agree.
Right? Especially as considered as a first season.
First season and everything. No, you're right.
Everybody was talking about Oregon out there for a long time all year.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit up here and wave the cry for Lincoln Riley flag.
Well, that's kind of what you're doing.
But to tease Jess about a...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, about that.
The best team in the pack...
Seems karmically wrong. Again, you're going to have something coming on you. I'm trying to school you here.
Oregon State, maybe. Remember yesterday I told you guys, gave you a hot tip. Give you a hot tip about Oregon State football.
You did.
That line went.
Tell us again.
Oregon State's playing Florida.
Right.
Florida is not happy about. I don't know what bowl it is. Honestly, it's one of the. It's in Vegas. So it's one of those Vegas bowls. Florida's not. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be there. They're disappointed in how their season went. Oregon State, on the other hand,
what's happening with the QB?
He entered the draft.
He's gone.
So yeah, this was. We were talking about this prior to that,
Anthony.
But the line when I gave you guys the hot tip was 6.5. Now up to 10.5.
Mm,
know what I'm saying?
You had to act quickly.
In fact, here's another hot tip.
John's on, Brian.
I think the Pac-12 is going to win every bowl they play in this year. That's what I think.
Well, that's a take.
Washington, Utah, except USC because Caleb Williams, excuse me, USC will not because Caleb Williams will not play.
Willie Fritz going to win that game.
Yes, I think so. So everybody except USC.
Wow.
Oregon State is going to win their bowl game. Bo Nix, I believe, is playing in Oregon's bowl, so I think they'll win that one too. I think it's going to be a big. I think because the Pac-12 looks at these chances, right? These non-relevant Pac-12 teams are playing. Some of these are playing big name opponents. Penn State, I think. I can't remember. I've had that. Penn State's playing some Pac-12 team. Maybe it's Washington, and they look at these opportunities as, hey, this is our chance to beat these guys. Those other teams, those Power 5 teams don't want to be there. They're not in big-time bowls. They're used to this stuff, man. They got opt-outs. They got transfers, all that. Pac-12 going to be trying hard as hell to win these bowl games.
Interesting.
That's all it comes down to, right? It just comes – a lot of times, it's like who cares more?
Right.
And most SEC teams don't. Like Alabama, are they going to care against Kansas State? Is Bryce Young even going to play?
But they don't have to care. They'll still
right.
bowl them.
And they might. They might. It's very possible. But, you know, it's just that's what you have to sort of look out for. It's like, who cares? Who doesn't? Memphis is a 10.5-point favorite over Utah State, which I personally believe is too many points. I mean, Memphis beating anybody by 2 touchdowns in a bowl game?
That sounds dangerous.
I don't think so.
Why you want to live on the edge here at the end? I guess give the season a little spice.
Yeah. I mean.
An otherwise boring, mediocre season. Give it a little spice. Yeah. Bet on Memphis to outscore somebody by double digits. Not give away the lead. Man,
please. Right.
I'm not getting involved in that. That's what you do. You sniff it out.
That's too many.
I smell.
There's some weird lines in the NFL week too.
Is the thinking that Utah State just doesn't care at all?
No, I think Utah State's going to care.
Yeah. They're really bad.
They are bad.
They're
bad.
Really bad.
Blake Anderson,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Really bad.
Back at a place we know well.
Are they one
SMU.
Of those 5-win teams?
They had a neck-and-neck loss to UNLV at home. Then UNLV just fired their coach. Mm-hmm. They're terrible.
They are terrible. But, you know, it's, Memphis is not good. So it's just not.
But won't there be some comfort, a comfort level with playing at SMU?
Yeah.
I guess, man.
Yes.
You think that's going to make them feel.
I'm just looking for the edge like you do. I'm trying to get sharp like you.
I kind of like the 10.
A comfort level going back to where you just were into November. You were just
like
down
that.
There.
I know it sounds like a lot, John, given what, because we're so inside on how crappy Memphis has been this year. But you got to think, some of those L's were, I know it's not popular to say they were competitive losses, but.
Are they playing for Sylvie?
There you go.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Are they all in?
So Utah State lost 42-23 to Boise State. You look at that, you say, man, that is they got their ass kicked by Boise State. The game was 23-28 with 1 minute and 50 seconds left.
Yeah.
Well, that's outrageous.
And Utah State was driving on the 5-yard line to score.
Boise's not good this year. If you saw their conference championship.
Turn it over, pick six.
So what happened was Utah State, as a 17-point dog, threw a pick on the 5-yard line. Next play, 90-yard running touchdown. Okay.
Whoa.
All right. That got it to 35, right? 35-23. Next drive, quarterback comes out, throws a pick six. This all happened in 1 minute and 50 seconds.
Last minute and 50.
So a 17-point underdog went from having a chance to win the game outright in 1 minute and 50 seconds, again, on the 6-yard line, going for a chance to score, to not covering the game. That's about as bad as it gets in terms of, you know, your beats.
Let me ask you something about Memphis football. How much does it matter that a guy like Calvin Austin right now does not seem invested? Do you think that matters to current players in terms of their belief level in Ryan Silverfield? When you have a Calvin Austin who was just here, right, feeling the kind of way he did, obviously, you saw on social media him liking a tweet suggested he wasn't, you know, satisfied with the current leadership, put it that way. What does that do? Does that hurt you?
I think it does not help. I mean, you need advocates. Like, Ryan Silverfield needs advocates. Like, guys who are, you know, and it seems like the best that people are willing to do right now is, well, it ain't that bad.
Yeah, I don't mean so much does it hurt you with media or with fans, but with the players that are there right now.
Yeah.
When you're trying to hold on to them with that portal opening yesterday.
Yes.
You know, it has to, right?
It has to.
Especially somebody that means as much to the program as Calvin Austin. You're not going to, just because they, you know, forgot about him on the Jumbotron or whatever, had the wrong name on him. It's a guy you cherish. You cherish how he feels about the program. You want him to be an ambassador for you. So you just, again, how does that affect current guys who were just with him, by the way? You know, a lot of whom were just with him.
What these SEC schools pride themselves on at halftime of their games is they show on the Jumbotron, so-and-so.
I know.
Cowboys, so-and-so, Raiders, and we have all those running backs. Like, you got to, like, make those, like, the face of your program.
Well, they got his name wrong. I know that's not Silverfield's fault. I do wonder, would he feel differently if that doesn't go down the way it did when he was out there that day? But, no, I mean, look, everybody's not, you know, all these players are not all there with, you know, in terms of pulling for Ryan Silverfield, at least one who just got done playing for him.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
It should be a fun bowl season, no doubt, for some teams. Others, not so much. We'll come back with the rundown. Got some news on the Titans that we'll get to. John Robinson is out as the general manager. Get into all that and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So it's Brad Carson producing here with Jason and John for the Betly app, BETLY. It's a new sports book app. It's legal in Arkansas and Tennessee, right here in the state of Tennessee now. You've probably seen some of their billboards popping up. It's the Betly app. If you haven't downloaded this one, put it on your bookmarks there on your phone. The Betly app, BETLY, the Betly Sportsbook. I'm very excited with our new partnership with Betly. I've been exclusively using this over the past week. I love the tech, love the fast payouts. They've got all that stuff. But if you're fishing in Horseshoe, it's good at Tennessee, and then you can jump across the river to Arkansas and use it in both states. Legal in Tennessee and in Arkansas. And one of the things I really like are these promotions they're offering. The boosts have been great. 40% off World Cup. They've got the three-team parlays. If you're into the World Cup, that's still up there. They had the 35% Monday Night Football profit boost last night. $250 risk-free first wager if you're just jumping on the app. Plus, I was just looking at the Tigers game tonight. Arkansas Little Rock in Memphis. And the line for that one, 27.5 listed on Betly. You can jump on that one and put your parlays together for Arkansas, Little Rock, and Memphis. Those app features are all on there, the Boost, the NFL parlays, the Grizzlies, the NBA, and more. Bet on the Betly app like I do. You must be 21 or older and located in Arkansas or Tennessee to play with the Betly app. Play responsibly. And if you'd like help quitting, call 800-522-4700, the Betly Sportsbook.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.